Kevin Harlan here. Tonight at 5:30 Eastern, the NBA on Prime Crew is back as the Emirates NBA action heats up from Vegas for a thrilling semifinals doubleheader. Then on Tuesday night, December 16th at 8:30 Eastern, the last two teams standing will square off in the championship game for a shot at the cup, bragging rights, and a place in NBA history. And Prime is your exclusive home for it all. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details. Don't miss the thrilling conclusion of the Emirates NBA Cup live from Las Vegas, starting with the semifinals tonight, only on Prime.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
From the basement of the Bob and Tom Studios, it's That Josh Arnold Podcast. Hi. Oh, goodness gracious. If it isn't mid-May already. Josh, isn't that when your birthday is? My gosh, you're correct. My birthday was on May 16th, and thank you to everybody who reached out to me on the Insta or via email or whatever. Much appreciation to you. And to those of you who did reach out to me, don't feel bad. I know that you were, had you known it was my birthday, that you would have. And, well, even if you wouldn't have, I'm sure you hope that I had a good birthday. And I did. I did. It was very nice. Thank you kindly. I'm 43. I don't feel any different than 42. My niece asked how if I felt different, and I said I don't. And she said, so you just still feel old. Isn't that just the classic niece thing to say? Oh, well, I'm thrilled to be here in the basement. Boy, you know, the weather's getting warmer and the bugs are out. I'll tell you that. We're in that time of year here in the basement where the bugs are coming. Like, it's like the bugs are out and now we need to call an exterminator. You know, right before you get an exterminator in here to sort of spray things down and keep the little creatures out. Well, they are running amok. And what I say, this is what I tend to do at my own home, the spiders can stay. And I know that that spiders give a lot of people the creeps, and I get it. They look, you know, sort of evil, and they're, well, they can bite, and they're just sort of gross. They eat things live, and they have these webs to try. I mean, they're just murderous, but they do what they do in order to survive. I keep the spiders in my basement, or heck, even sometimes in, you know, the corners of the house proper, because I have the sort of Lily Munster philosophy when it comes to housekeeping. The spider webs stay because do I love having spiders in my house? No, not necessarily, but I prefer them to other bugs, and So that's what I'm saying. The spiders can stay to take care of the other bugs. To me, they're sort of custodians of my home when it comes to other insects. But my gosh, we'll get back to that in a second, because I need to tell you who my guest is this week. Thrilled to have them. Very excited to be speaking with them because, well, it's one of my favorite people. It's you! My goodness. Will you look at you? Oh, You look great. I hope you're feeling great as well. And I hope that your house right now is relatively bug-free. I've always hated cockroaches, always. And even as a kid, they just gave me the creeps. I couldn't stand them. I would rather have, I'd rather be in a tub full of spiders than have one cockroach on my arm. And about a year or so ago, I got my first allergy test. And it turns out I'm allergic to two things. Maybe it was three, but the two that I remember. Oh, no, it was three. I'm allergic to dust, mites, and mold, and cockroaches. And I have to think that one of the reasons that my whole life, and I just found out, again, that I was allergic to cockroaches about a year ago, but I've been terrified, well, just really grossed out and creeped out by them all my life. I have to think that that reaction stems from my natural allergy to them, that my body and brain know that when I get around cockroaches or whatever, that I have a bad physical reaction to them. And so that fear was then put into me so that I would stay away from them even more. I just believe that. Now, I know how allergies work, and I know that, we tend to be allergic to things that we are around in abundance. And you can, like, acquire allergies that way. So I'm also wondering if it was acquired, if I wasn't, since you're not really born with allergies per se, where the hell was I? Where all these cockroaches were that I eventually became allergic to them? And I have a few guesses. I worked at a sub warehouse for a while, and I found cockroaches all the time. And I worked there for a few years. I also would find cockroaches in one of my apartments in South Korea. So who's to say? I could have been breathing in their spores all night and day. Anyway, spiders, you know what though? Mind your business when you're living in my home. All right. Stay in the corners, because if I see you out and about, if I see you on my bedspread or I see you on the bathroom wall or on the kitchen table, I'm apt to, smash you. I am. Every now and again, if I feel like I can, I will grab like a piece of paper or something and slide it underneath the spider and then rush it out the door so I'm not killing it. But a lot of times, nope, here comes the wadded up paper towel to crush you up. But if you stay in your corner, we're good. Collecting those exoskeletons of the many bugs you have murdered. You lunatic arachnid. So, without further ado, let's get to this week's sponsor. Oh, it's perfect for this time of year. Good any time of year, but particularly the grilling season. This week's sponsor is sauce. Oh, don't you love sauce with your food? I'm talking any sauce. You know what I mean? Whether it be barbecue or soy or maybe a hollandaise or banana. Any sauce is our sponsor this week. And it's great, isn't it? Sauce, it can be sweet. It can be hot. It can be tangy. So a lot of times sauce will add flavor to that food, won't it? And in fact, sauce can be so good that sometimes it gives flavor to food that didn't really have it. Isn't that something? And maybe you're eating something and you're not really enjoying it. Throw some sauce on it. Now you got something, don't you? You're tasting the sauce. Boy, oh boy. I hope you get to enjoy some sauce very soon. And if you're ever at a restaurant and, you're having food, you don't care for it, just go, hey, waiter, some sauce, please. Just ask for sauce. And if they, if they get snippy and ask you a rude question like, what kind of sauce? Hey, you bring me sauce. I didn't come here for a quiz. All right. I'm not enjoying the food as much as I would be were there sauce. So get it. you know, Let's get away from these bugs down here in the basement for a little while and hop on board the TJA Express. That's right. The Orange Track. Ah. Listen to that whistle blow.
There it is.
Well, I got a little impatient there, and I shouldn't have. We were well on our way, and my gosh, if we aren't at our first stop, the lovely Vocabville. That's right. Here in Vocabville, it's a quiet day. Not a lot of background music, but... I can't give my wonderful producer, Jason, a hard time. He showed up to work way earlier than need be yesterday to make breakfast for me. It's something he's done annually for my birthday. The man comes in with his griddle and his tools and food, by the way, which, you know what, I've never offered to chip in for. I've never said, hey, here's a few bucks. The man digs into his own pockets. And he buys pancake mix, and he buys eggs and sausage and bread for toast. And listen to this. This year, he brought in a jar of homemade strawberry jam that his wife prepared. And I got to tell you, delightful. Please give the missus my best regarding the homemade jam, Jason. And if she ever opens up a jam Etsy, she's got a customer for life. I'll tell you that. So, loved it. Boy, that was a good... And man, you know the secret, guys. I'm sure you're all aware of this. If you've got a little fruit jam, particularly strawberry and sausage, look, no reason not to mix those, okay? In fact, you could argue that that jam is a sauce for the sausage. It's Now, I'm not saying drown the sausage in the strawberry jam, but I'm telling you, that savory and sweet mix, I don't need to teach you this. You know. And yes, no, jam is not a sauce, all right? When you ask a waiter or waitress for a server, let's just make it easy for everybody. When you say server, sauce please, and they bring you jam, well, it must be your first day. I didn't say jam. I said sauce. Anyway, here we are in Vocabville, a lovely town. And today's word that we're going to learn here in Vocabville is fun. And it's got a very simple definition. In fact, you'll probably be able to tell me the definition once I tell you the word. It's a noun, and it's quite simply ejectamenta. And I bet you know what it is already, ejectamenta. Now, for some of us who are rather cheeky in our day-to-day lives, it sounds a little dirty, doesn't it? Oh, ejectamenta. Well, I don't need to tell you what biological word it sort of sounds like, but you know. But ejectamenta here, it just means material ejected from a particular source. So, boy, let's see. When a volcano erupts, the ejectamenta will fly through the air and eventually land on the ground. That kind of thing. I like to use it. Well, let's be honest. I don't often use it. But I like to use it for people who have been thrown out of concerts. Like, you'll see... when people body surf or whatever, they're eventually surfed toward the front, like toward the stage, and then the security guards take them, and they don't actually, most of the time body surfers don't get thrown out. They just get like ushered back, you know, away, and then they can go back in, into their seats or whatever. But I do refer to anybody being kicked out of a concert or something like, oh, look at the ejectamenta over there. And it's usually met with confusion and silence. But I enjoy it. So ejectamenta. I guess, would a videotape, you're asking me, Josh, back in the days of the VCR, or even the DVD player, or Blu-ray player, CD player, what have you, when you hit eject and that thing comes out, would that be considered ejectamenta? And I'm going to say yes. You hit eject. It was then ejected. It was a material ejected from that source. Hence, that, you know what, to me, that's ejectamenta right there. Try to use that word this week. It's fun. Ejectamenta. And, oh my gosh, if we're not back on the train and it's moving right along again. Ah, feel that breeze in the air. And Waved? Did you wave to the people when you're on a train? You go through, you pass another station, and you see folks, or maybe you're at an amusement park on a train or a zoo, and you see folks. Don't you wave? Isn't that nice? And if you're standing and you see a train go by, do you wave to the folks on the train? Ah, I bet some of you do. And isn't that's a nice thing to do. And if you don't, perhaps you're a little shy, and that's quite all right as well. Anyway, oh my gosh, we've stopped. I got to talking and I didn't realize that we. Oh, this is one of the newer locations. Well, this location's been around for for centuries. This place, but it's just now part of our schedule, part of the TJA Express schedule. And here we are. You know what? I have a name for this segment. I do not have a name for where this segment takes place. So I'm going to continue on with the train ruse and just say, oh, my God, the sign has been knocked down. I don't know the name of the town, but I can tell you what we do here. What we do here is we learn how to speak. All right. That's what we're doing. We're learning how to speak. That's right. And what's going to happen when we come to this town, which I forgot to name, when we learn how to speak, it's just, you know, a lot of us, we talk a lot, don't we? And we often make mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes become a law. Ain't was never a word, but it's considered a word now by probably those people at Merriam-Webster. I've always had a problem with Merriam-Webster. They're very, very fast and loose with their rules. And in fact, they are about this one, too. But I'm a stickler. I'm going to stand by this, and I'm going to suggest that you all do the same when we learn how to speak this week. Nausea. We all know what nausea is. It's an upset stomach. We don't feel great. We feel like we're going to vomit or we've just got an uneasy tummy there. Now, most people will say that they, when that is occurring, that they feel nauseous. However, what I'm old school on this, all right? Originally, what you would say is, I feel nauseated. Nauseous technically means something that causes nausea. So a roadkill can be nauseous. Roller coasters can be nauseous. Old food can be nauseous. Those nauseous things make you nauseated. So when you say, oh, I'm nauseous, that means you're causing other people to be sick. Technically, okay? Now, people like Merriam and Webster have decided that the word has been misused for so long that it's now just appropriate to say, I feel nauseous. Look, I disagree. You feel nauseated, okay? That's right. The bug, the little virus or bacteria or whatever in your tummy is nauseous, and now you feel nauseated. So let's go ahead and... I say let's stick it to the people at Merriam-Webster and those who prefer ambiguous language will say, let's stick it to them by saying, I feel nauseated from now on, all right? Learn how to speak. You're nauseated. You're not nauseous. I'm a big stickler on this one, and I hope you will be too, because without words, well... I think you know what I'm trying to say. Okay. All right. And oh my gosh, the train, we've got, I'm looking at the schedule here. One more stop this week. Boy, we're getting spoiled on the train ride. We're sure cruising along here. Oh, a tunnel. Oh, don't you love a tunnel? Oh my God. everything's fine, folks. We just had the engine went out for a second, but all's well. And here we are. Oh, what a lovely spot. Oh, many of us, we enjoy visiting this place. Here we are at television towers. And that...
Hey! What did you go tearing up?
It seemed to be some sort of quote. I have to ask, though, Jason, the producer, what did it say? Because here's the deal. I've put Jason in a tough spot here. I said, hey, I've got a couple new segments or features or places or whatever. Just find anything, and it'll be fine. And so the poor guy, he has a list on the computer of things to choose from. What did it say that made you choose that? He's letting me know here. Slim Pickens. Okay, and it turned out to actually be the actor Slim Pickens. And now you're kicking yourself because you feel like you should have known that? Oh, that's all right. Slim has graced all of our television screens at one point. He's a worthy citizen of television towers. But I want to tell you guys about a TV show that, look, full transparency. I still have three episodes of this thing. It's a 10-episode deal, and I'm not done, but I already love it so much that I'm prepared to tell you that no matter what happens in the last three episodes, I recommend this thing. It is one of the finest television series I've seen in a while, and I have to tell you, though, I have to warn you, it is brutal. The violence is so it's out of control. It's nuts. And I would call it cartoonish if it weren't so darned realistic. I mean, it's Chick is a big fan of the show as well, and I'll tell you what it is. But when he and I discuss it, we both have this same thing where we go, well, that guy died. That guy, when they hired him, said, okay, here's your part. And by the way, you're really going to die at the end. Because... the effects and are so fantastic in every definition that, I mean, it's just, you go, well, that, there's no way that was fake, and that person is no longer on the planet. The show is Gangs of London, and it's a crime sort of gangster saga that takes place in the UK. And it's a complicated story, and a lot of layers and a lot of different characters. So I'm not going to get too much into it, except to tell you that you do have to pay attention. It's a very detailed, very sharp, very smart, intelligent, sometimes confusing story. But it's wonderfully acted. It's wonderfully written and done. And the spectacle of it is astounding. Each episode has a fight sequence in it. All but one so far have had a fight sequence in the episode that is one of each one belongs in one of the greatest action movies you've ever seen in your life. It's phenomenal. And the great thing about this action is, although, like I said, it gets rough. I mean, it gets brutal, and it gets, very graphic. You can see it all. You know how you oftentimes you'll watch an action film or show or whatever, and there's so much going on, but the camera's not steady and the editing is real choppy, so you kind of can't tell. And most of the time they're doing that to hide the fact that it's all fake. Well, the camera lingers in this show, and it gets up close and personal, and it is not afraid to show you every detail. And it's exhilarating and hard to watch at times, but just action packed. It's crazy. And so if you've got the constitution for graphic violence and plenty of cursing, I mean, these are gangsters we're talking about, but strong acting, strong writing, wonderful direction. And by the way, the guy who created this and has directed most, if not all, and I think written as well of the episodes, is a guy who made two of the greatest action movies I've ever seen in my life, The Raid and The Raid 2. And if you're familiar with those and you liked those, then I bet right now you're saying to yourself, I've got to watch Gangs of London now, because the action in those was so amazing. So, and if you haven't, maybe you've only seen Gangs of London. Check out The Raid and The Raid 2 if you like the action in Gangs of London. I mean, those movies are, testicles to the wall action. I mean, it's just craziness. So, that's what I'm enjoying right now on television. Oh, this is perfect. Perfect.
May not be Mr. Right, but he is certainly Mr. Smooth.
I love the old school dial, actually. That's not a remote being used. That's the, you had to walk up to the TV and crank the thing to change the channel. That's awesome. That's perfect for television towers. And thank you for taking that trip with me. And now we will head back to the basement because I have a question. Question of the week. Speaking of thrillers and law and crime and whatnot, Michael has written in, you mentioned during the season one finale, Michael Connelly and his potboilers. Were you referencing the Bosch series or another series by him? I did. I mentioned that I love Michael Connelly and those. And sure, I love the Bosch series. I also am a fan of the Lincoln Lawyer series. And then there were some one-offs as well, like Chasing the Dime. I don't think that hero in that had another book. Maybe if so, I'm just not aware of it. But all of Michael Connelly stuff, and even his nonfiction stuff about how he was a detective and everything, just terrific stuff. But Michael goes on to say, have you read the Alex Cross series, and what are your thoughts? James Patterson, who somehow, for those of you who... Are on Goodreads or you go to bookstores, whatever. It seems like Patterson puts out a new book a week. And a lot of it is just using his name. He licenses his name as well. So, James Patterson wrote the Alex Cross series. And Michael, I have read three of those. I think it was the first three. Along Came a Spider, Kiss the Girls, and what was the third? Jack and Jill. I've read those. And yes, I was entertained, but they're not, to me, the Alex Cross series, and again, I've only read three out of, I don't know how many there are now, 15 or 20 or something, weren't as hard-boiled as the Bosch series, and I kind of prefer my detective series to be a bit more, a bit darker. And trust me, there's some dark stuff going on, at least in those three Alex Cross books I read, but plus Connelly was actually, like, there. Not that his books are nonfiction, the Bosch, but I mean he knows his stuff. So and Patterson's also certainly knowledgeable, but I don't know. I can feel Connelly's experience in his writing, whereas in Patterson it's like, okay, yeah, that's a good yarn, that kind of thing. So anyway, I hope that question was interesting. That question and answer was interesting to more of you than just Michael and I. But that was the question of the week. Thank you, Michael. Man, oh, man. And if you haven't checked out Connelly or Patterson, give him a shot, especially if you like a good thriller. So mid-May, summer is upon us. Spring is pretty much, well, we're in that sort of crux, aren't we, between spring and summer. And May has always been a very special month for me. My birthday is in the middle of May. And I'm one of those people, I really enjoy where my birthday is in the year. Now, I guess one could say, well, the reason you like this time of year so much is because your birthday's there. Maybe. But I think there's more to it. I think there's, we're kind of shaking off the shackles of winter. Boy, that's good, isn't it? I should write that down. Shaking off the shackles of winter. Boy, oh boy. Josh Arnold, poet laureate. Oh, so anyway, we're getting ready to enjoy the warmth of summer. And there's kind of a freedom to summer, isn't there? Where you feel like, winter, you kind of feel a little bottled up and closed in. And my gosh, if the summer of 2021 doesn't feel we're really going to be opening up and embracing summer. It sure does. And Look, there's a debate out there as to whether we should be, acting like it's the roaring 20s or if we should still be cautious. Hey, you know, that's not for me. I'll save that. That debate can be had by people who are smarter than me and, quite frankly, more interested in it than I am. I've got things I can do inside and outside with people, without people. I kind of don't care. But I care, but I... you know what I'm saying. So, summer this time, we're school is almost over, it's just a good time of year. It's fun. It's exciting. And another thing that I liked school when I was in it, and I loved summer break, but I did enjoy school. And May this time of year does remind me of graduation and graduation parties coming up and, stuff like that. And also prom season. And boy, I feel for the kids who last year and this year didn't have a prom, or they didn't have a graduation ceremony, or they couldn't throw the graduation parties that they would have been able to had there not been a pandemic. And I hear rumblings of, this such and such school held a prom for last year's seniors and that kind of thing. And I think that's terrific. Let the kids have that experience. Now, these aren't, if you didn't have a prom last year, your life's going to be just fine. Trust me. But they are, big moments as well. And that's a tough thing when, these kids couldn't do that kind of thing. And it reminded me of how I went not only to one prom, but two. I after I graduated, my girlfriend was a year younger than me. And so she was still going to my high school, my ex high school, whatever, my alma mater. And she was, but wanted to go to prom. And of course, she wanted to take me because I was her boyfriend. So I went. And I liked this girl a lot. She was super cool and hot and fun and sweet. And so I was happy to go. But I didn't realize that, I guess, boy, I don't know. Some people thought that it was weird that I was there, I think, because I saw them react to me when I walked in with my girlfriend. There were some teachers going, what are you doing here? And there were some other students kind of like snickering or whatever. And man, hasn't this guy moved on? But that wasn't what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to relive my senior year. I was just going to my girlfriend's prom. And I wanted to, dance and have fun or whatever, but I wasn't. I certainly was not trying to hang on to my high school experience by going, but I think that was the impression that it gave to some. But anyway, we ended up having a good time, and we had a good time after the prom. And in fact, it was one of these weird things where miraculously I didn't get in trouble, and I could have so easily been, I could have had that summer taken away. So what would I have been? I would have been 19. And, technically I think I was 18 the night of that prom, still about going on very close to being 19. And after prom, we went to a couple parties, and then, my girlfriend and I went back to my house, which was my parents' house, but I lived in the basement. I was the only one down there. And so we went back and, I was able to buy a 12-pack of beer. I had kind of learned how to buy beer when I was 18. I think I've talked about this on a previous podcast, but I was just confident. I walked in like I knew what I was doing. I grabbed the beer, put it on the counter. I kind of looked mature and just able to buy it. So I did without getting carded. So I had a 12-pack of beer, and she and I listened to some. My parents were asleep upstairs. But we listened to some music sort of quietly and hung out. And I think for some reason, I don't remember exactly, but we got buzzed for sure. And I feel like we were playing some sort of game. And I mean like a legit game, like a, it wasn't like a board game, but it may have been Truth or Dare or something kind of silly and youthful and fun or whatever. So, and we were doing that. And then, look, we did what some people after the prom do. And she spent the night. Well, the next morning, I heard my mom come downstairs and she started laundry because the laundry room was right next to my room. And my bedroom did not have a door. It was just off in the back of the basement and there was no door at all. And so she could have very easily walked into my room and I wouldn't have even known if I was asleep, you know, that kind of thing. Well, she didn't, thankfully. But I heard her start some laundry and I heard her go back upstairs and I kind of got up and I was hungover. And this my girlfriend, who my mom thought was my mom didn't have a good impression of her. And my mom didn't need. Well, well, gee, why not, Josh? Yeah, you just told us that you got hammered with her down in the basement and you okay, fine. But anyway, my mom was nice to her, but she didn't have a great impression. You know, she didn't, whatever. So my mom, had she walked into my room, would have seen her, my girlfriend in my bed, my small twin bed or whatever. And she also would have seen a bevy of empty beer cans strewn around my room. For whatever reason, my girlfriend and I didn't think it proper to take the cans and hide them or throw them away or anything. We apparently attempted juggling them at one point in the night and just let them fall where they may because they were everywhere. And I don't know what we were doing. So anyway, and then I eventually took her home. And I think, man, we broke up like shortly thereafter. We did not stay together for much longer. I think it was one of those things that just kind of faded away. There was no big breakup, and there certainly wasn't any animosity. I think we just kind of felt, I don't know what we felt, but I think we just stopped calling each other. I honestly, there was no, well, one of us had to have called for the last time, you know what I mean? Either I called her and she didn't call me back, or she called me and I didn't call her back. But there were no bad feelings. It was just one of those things that just kind of stopped. And so that was the second prom I went to. My senior prom, before I get to it, I have to give you a little bit of backstory. If I've mentioned this on the podcast, I don't mean to repeat myself, but it bears, it is important to the story, I guess. For most of my high school career, I had a massive crush on one girl. It started in like eighth grade, which was junior high or middle school or whatever. And it didn't go away until like I was in college. And what would happen is, the reason I developed a crush on her in the first place was, I must have thought that she was attractive, but I just didn't think anything of it. And then she really started flirting with me, and she would be very handsy and flirtatious and laugh at everything I said. And it was, and really I went, oh my gosh, this girl, there's no way she doesn't like me. And other people were like, dude, she obviously likes you, the way she acts and stuff. And I went, I can't believe it. I grew to really like her, and I mentioned it to her. I said, hey, I think we're into each other, and I'd love to. I don't even think, because in eighth grade and ninth grade, it wasn't so much as like, hey, I'd like to take you out. It was like, why don't I be your boyfriend? And so it was something like, hey, why don't we date, or why don't we get together? And she stopped talking to me and made it known, not by telling me per se, but just made it known through her apparent lack of action and lack of interest. I mean, it just It became even sort of unfriendly that that wasn't what she was. So, okay, all right, well, crap. I thought she liked me. I guess either I did something wrong or whatever. I don't know what happened. So I just kind of let it go. And as soon as my attention wavered, she was right back, laying it on thick. And then I would go, oh, you do like me. Let's get, and then it would, this cycle lasted for years. And look, I don't fault her, all right? So are some of you listening going, well, that was cruel on her part. I don't think she was not meaning to be cruel. I think eventually, and we did also become, we were close friends. And it was hard. It was hard on me because I really thought I was in love with her. And she, at one point, I know that I've mentioned this before. At one point, she started dating my best friend at the time, and they were together for like a year. And so, like, it got like, this was a tough situation for me. And we were in plays together and show choir together, and I saw her every day. And whether it was good or bad, it was kind of a rough road in that aspect. Now, I wasn't a miserable kid. I was still having a lot of fun, and I was still flirting with other people and, writing that great thing that kids do where you write notes and give them to each other in class. And, boy, I loved that stuff. It's just so fun and exciting. And I'm a flirt at heart as well, so I just love that. And but this girl I thought was the one and that we should be together. So senior year, I say, you know what? You've been such a huge part of my life. You're the only girl I've really been wanting to be with, no matter what is going on in our lives. This was like fall of 95 because my senior prom was spring of 96. So I was on the phone with her and I said, promise me, no matter what's going on with us, that you will go to senior prom with me. And she said, I can't make that promise. I might have a boyfriend. You might have a girlfriend. And I said, no, I don't care. If you have a boyfriend or if I have a girlfriend, it doesn't matter. You and I need to cap off this 4 years by going to prom together. I need you to promise me that we're going to go to prom together, even if it's just as friends. And she really put up a fight, by the way, rightfully so. This was not fair of me to do. And I know that now. I didn't know it when I was a dumb 17-year-old or whatever. I thought it was sort of storybook and it would all. So anyway, she eventually promised. She said, okay, I will go to senior prom with you. And she didn't. Like, she was, I feel bad. It wasn't a happy promise. It wasn't like an, an ultimatum. I don't remember. I don't think I said anything like, look, if you don't agree to this, I'm never speaking to you again or anything like that. Because she did like having me in her life. I was there for her at times, and she knew she could always rely on me to talk to me. We would, boy, there were times. I mean, we did have a lot of fun. I don't want it to sound like it was all miserable. There were times that were miserable for me, but there were also times where, man, I was on top of the world. We'd go to movies. We'd go out to eat. We'd hang out. I mean, and we really had a lot of laughs and stuff like that. So that year ends up being particularly tough for us. We're not that close, and there were like months of ignoring each other, particularly me ignoring her. I got some advice from one of my best friends that it was sort of you need to be all or nothing here, all right? You can't be in this limbo. And he advised me. He said, you need to be together or you need to act like she's not even there. And I took this advice to heart. And my friend who gave me that advice was older than I, and he certainly didn't mean to give me bad advice, but he gave me advice based on his experience. And we would later talk about this in years to come, and he and I. And it wasn't necessarily a fit. That advice was sort of against who I am. I'm not a good ignorer type. I don't know. And so, but I did it. And I let her down as a friend. I know I did. So anyway, senior prom is coming up. And I asked somebody else. I asked a really good friend of mine who I also had feelings for, if she would go with me. And she said yes. And what happened was, so I made this girl promise that she would go with me. And things were so bad between us that I ended up, I broke it. I broke the promise. I asked somebody else and she said yes. And she, I'm just trying not to use names or whatever, but she, the girl who I made promise go to prom with me, found out about this because I'm not proud of this, all right? I purposefully talked about how this other girl was going to prom with me within earshot of the first girl, okay? I wanted her to hear, but I didn't want to talk to her about it. And I go, hey, did you hear I'm going to prom with so-and-so? And the first girl heard this, and she broke. The ignoring stopped right then. She turned to me, and the look on her face, they say if looks could kill, I would have disintegrated like the guy in Indiana Jones who picked from the wrong grail, who drank from the wrong grail. I would have just turned into dust. And she spoke. She said something along the lines of, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, I thought that would be for the best." And she said, "You know, we promised each other." And I said, "Yeah, but." And before I could say anything else, she said, "I'm happy for you." And she walked away. So, in my mind, that first girl was so attractive and so fun and stuff. She was going to have no problem finding another date for the senior prom. Well, I don't think she ended up, nobody asked her. And they should have. But for whatever reason, nobody asked her. And she didn't ask anybody else, and she ended up not going to prom. And I talked to her before, like, you know, weeks or so before, and I was like, "Who are you going to go with?" And she was like, "I'm not going to go." And I go, "Well, what about your friends? Aren't some of your friends just going as a group of friends? Because a lot of high school dances, for whatever reason, some of the girls would go, oh, we're just going as a group of girls. It's going to be 10 of us and we're not taking dates and it's just going to be." So then the guys were like, "Well, what the hell?" that eliminates 10 girls that we could have taken to some of the dates or to some of the dances or whatever. So then a group of guys would then go, "We're not taking girls. We're just going to go and or whatever. Not going to worry about dates," something like that. And I said, "Why don't you just go with a group of your friends?" And she didn't. She ended up staying home on prom night. And I have a fair amount of guilt because of that. Now, a lot of people have told me you shouldn't feel guilty about it. It was a bad situation overall. Yes, you shouldn't have made her promise that you guys would go together no matter what. But she could have gone. It's not your fault that she didn't go. She still could have gone. And I agree, she still could have gone. But I certainly didn't help. At the very least, I was a major reason why she didn't go to her senior prom. And it makes me sad. I'm not proud of my behavior. I'm not. Here's what kills me, okay? And I've actually talked about this in... yes, I go to therapy every other week, and I talk about different things, and this has come up in my therapy of I do have guilt about this, and my therapist has reassured me, no, she could have gone, and what do you can't beat yourself up for this, for something that happened when you were 18, and I don't beat myself up, but every now and again I am struck with a sadness and a guilt when I think about. She's now married and has kids. when I think about her kids asking, hey, mom, what was your prom like and who did you go to your senior prom with? And she, I imagine, says, I didn't go. A boy promised, made me promise that I would go with him, and then he ended up going with somebody else. I mean, and she, I would never fault her for telling that story because that's what that is what happened. Now, if, you know, maybe she goes, but you know what? That kid and I, that boy and I had a weird 4 years together, and there were times where I would lead him on, and then there were times where we were. I honestly think she wished she had feelings for me. In the grand scheme of things, I do believe that she, because I saw her try. There were times where I really saw her try, and in fact, one time we were at her house. I was at her parents' house, and I was up in her bedroom, and she was talking. This sounds corny, but at the time, in like a 17-year-old's life, this was a symbolic moment, and I knew what she was doing. Alanis Morissette had the biggest album in the world at the time, all right? That Jagged Little Pill album was, I was a huge fan, she was a huge fan, much of the world, because it had this adolescent angst to it, and we thought that her problems perfectly reflected ours, and anyway, she put on a song. We were hanging out in her room, and she put on a song called Head Over Heels by Alanis Morissette, and that song is about a girl finally realizing that the boy who's been pining after her for so long and being so good to her and treating her like a princess, which Alanis goes on to say, she's not used to and doesn't know how to act when that happens. She finally realizes, oh my gosh, he's been here the whole time. And he's tried. I'm lifting some lyrics right from the, he's stated his case time and again. And I see it now. I feel what he feels for him. And, we're going to happily ever after. She put that damn song on for me to hear, and she knew I was aware of it, and she could have just put on the CD, but no, she put the CD in and played that song specifically. And I know that was her way of saying, I am trying to get there. I want this song to be my truth. And it just never happened, and it wasn't going to. And I will never harbor ill feelings towards her. You can't always choose who you're attracted to. I have a lot of guilt and regret for how I acted in those days. And I bet she does too. But what are we going to do? We couldn't help it. We were young and we were confused, and we were getting advice. I know I got some advice that wasn't necessarily right for me, and I acted on it. And she may have as well. And it also didn't help probably that she was being pressured by some of our mutual friends. And I know her parents loved me and were probably like, dude, you really need to, you know, that's the last thing I think a girl in high school wants to hear is her parents' approval of a guy. Anyway, a ton going on. And my gosh, if she didn't miss senior prom because, because of me, and I'm not saying that. I think it's just fair to say. I'm not kicking my own ass over this on a daily basis. Trust me, okay? I'm not. But there are moments where it hits me and go, ah, man, I ruined that for her. So I don't know what side you're on. I certainly appreciate you letting me, in a sense, confess this, because it is it's a bit of a scar, from my youth. But I'm not going to lie to you, man. I have some fond memories of her. We had a lot of laughs. And, oh, my gosh, I should tell you, I ran into her. I ran into her a year or so after we graduated. I'll tell you this little story. We obviously weren't speaking at the end of senior year, and we had a banquet for the show choir. It was a going away banquet for the seniors who were graduating. And at the end of that banquet, everybody was sort of milling around, and we were not speaking, but she walked right up to me. She made sure this happened because I wasn't going to do anything like a jerk or whatever, stubborn. And she walked right up to me and gave me one of the biggest hugs I've ever had in my life. And she broke down. She cried. She cried a lot. And I hugged her back. And then she stopped hugging me and she walked away. And we never said anything. And a year or two later, I was at a bar with some friends. I was in college and she was in college. And my gosh, if she doesn't walk in and sit at the bar with a couple of her friends. And my buddies, these were high school buddies I was at this bar with. They all knew the situation. They knew about the last, you know, the 4 years and stuff. And they knew the ups and downs. And they said, oh, man, she's, you know, did you see who's at the bar? And I said, yeah. And I wasn't sure if she saw me or us or whatever. But it wasn't very crowded. And it was a kind of a small bar. And after about an hour or so, she walked over to the table and said hi because she knew everybody there, and she handed me a bottle of beer and walked off and went back to the bar. And so I was kind of like, ah, man, what do I do in this situation? But I went, you know what? Some time has passed, and she made – I mean that's a really fine gesture in my book. So I did. I took the beer that she bought me over to the bar, and I sat down next to her. And I said, thanks very much for the beer. And we started to catch up, and we started to talk about what we were up to and how college was going and what friends we still talk to and what we were hoping to do with our lives and what we were studying and all this. And it was going well, and it was nice. But she eventually called me out, and it was kind of a quiet moment, and we were both sipping from our bottles of beer. And she put her beer down. She looked at me and said, she said, you know, you really hurt me. And she started to cry. And I said, I know, but you really hurt me. And I didn't know. I reacted as best as I could, as best as I knew how. I didn't know what to do, and that's what I told her. And she said, "I missed my prom because of you. Do you realize that?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And I even gave her the, you know, you still could have gone, that kind of thing. But, nothing that we said to each other was going to help one another at this point, but it quickly turned into her saying, I needed you. And she literally said it. She said, I've needed you. I needed you the last senior year. And I've needed you the last couple of years. And she started to list some things that had gone wrong in her life. And she said, you weren't there for me. And I could have used you. I really needed you. And I said, well, I needed to not be around you. This was a tough time. And I needed to try to move on. I finally said, look, do you need me in your life now? Is that what you need? And that was not the right thing to say, because she got very mad. She stood up and she raised her voice and she said, I don't need you. I've been through this. And she relisted all the stuff that had gone wrong. And she said, I got through that just fine by myself. So do I need you? No, not at all. And I grabbed my beer and sat and went back to the table with my friends. And we've never spoken again. I haven't seen her again. Now, my mom ran into her at her work one time. And the and this girl told my mom, hey, have Josh call me. And I just never have. I never did. Now, I know through friends that she's married and has kids. And I sincerely, oh, man, I mean, I guess I feel I feel like I need to say that I truly, truly mean this. I sincerely hope that she's having the greatest life anybody can have. I hope that she's so happy with her husband and that she loves being a mom and that she has a great job and whatever. I just hope that she's really, and I hope also that she has fond memories of me. And I bet she has some soreness still and some scars, but look, these things, you know, they don't haunt us, but they're there every now and again. You feel them, don't you? They're just like tiny scars. You go, oh man, I wish, if I had handled things a little differently or if I had known more or had been more mature, whatever, this scar probably wouldn't be there. But that's the thing about scars, isn't it? They're a sign of old wounds that have healed. They don't go away, but they've healed. And I have healed, but if I poke at that scar, I can still feel a little tender. And I wonder if she does too. I just, you know, what would I do if I saw her the next time I went back to St. Louis? I'll tell you what, I really think I would have a smile on my face and I would say, my God, look at you. What? Tell me about yourself. Tell me. I know I would. I would apologize as well. And maybe that's a selfish thing for me to do because sometimes I've talked about this before. Sometimes we apologize just to try to make ourselves feel better. And I wouldn't be doing that. I would go, you know, I really am genuinely sorry that I was a big reason why you didn't go to your senior prom. And she might go, you know what? I don't care. Or she might go, I appreciate that. Or she might go, hey, screw you. I have no idea. But whatever she's doing and whoever she's with, I seriously hope that she's very well and happy. And it would be, you know what? I guess I could reach out. It'd be interesting. I don't have any feelings for her anymore at all. And, but I would, whatever. We'll see. I'll leave it up to fate, I guess. And maybe, who knows? But anyway. So how was your prom, Josh? Well, it was a good time. It was. The girl I went with, we had a lot of fun. And my best friend went with her best friend. And so the four of us really, really had a nice time. And I've got other school dance stories, but I'll save those for another time. I've got some, I have a lot of fond memories of school dances. Looking back, the stress that we felt regarding them was, it shouldn't have been as stressful as, you know what I mean? These were nice moments that were monumental at the time, but in the scheme of things, they were just supposed to be some fun things. And for the most part, boy, I look back fondly on those good times. I hope that you had, I hope you have fond memories of your prom or school dances and things like that. And, I look forward to maybe sending off my own kid or kids to their proms. That has got to be one of the most joyous and frightening and bittersweet moments of a parent's life. Oh, I'll tell you this. I won't. I will do my best not to not to break down while we're taking pictures or within eyesight of my son or daughter. But as soon as that limo turns the corner, It's going to be messy. My cheeks will be wet. All right. Let's see here. Something to work on. You know, I'm tying this in to sort of the meat of this podcast. It's a silly thing, and I think it'll be fun though, and I think it'll help you feel good. Why not this week dance with somebody? Maybe it's been a long time since you've danced with your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whomever. Wouldn't it be something if you took your phone one night and you opened up your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever it is that you've got there, and you put on a song and said, and looked at that person and said, "May I have this dance?" And just what's it going to last? 2 or 3 minutes? And just danced with somebody, danced with the person you love. Or if you you put on a song and you've got kids and you just started doing a silly dance for them. And of course, they're going to, maybe they'll be mortified or maybe they'll join in depending on their age, I'm sure. And go, "Oh, you're so silly," or, "Oh my gosh, what are you doing? You have to stop this right now." Go ahead and this week try to dance with someone. I think it'll be I think it'll bring a little injection of joy and happiness. I know I'll try it, and it might just be a nice moment. So, in summary, I think what we've learned here today is something that we're never going... Goodbye!
Come join TV's Ross Matthews every Thursday on his new podcast, Hello, Ross.
Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, and I am so excited to tell you about my brand new podcast, Hello, Ross.
You know, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying it again to emphasize the name of my new podcast. It's Hello, Ross.
Look, you only have like 30 seconds to tell them about the new podcast, Hello, Ross. You have to tell them about the celebrity guests, the interesting people with cool stories to tell, and it's new every Thursday. Go ahead.
You never know who's going to pop by to say hello, Ross. It could be an Oscar winner, the star of your favorite show, even my dental hygienist.
Really?
No, she's fascinating.
Okay, anyone else?
One time I was at a dinner party and the lady across from me, turns out she was a dominatrix. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. I've been a naughty boy.
Huh, are you going to ask?
We're gonna go there.
For reals?
And there.
For real reals?
You better stretch.
I better stretch? What the
heck? On our show, nothing's off limits. I'm gonna ask that question.
No.
And that question.
No.
And I'm gonna get away with it.
Oh boy.
So it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Except think of it Mr. Matthews' Gaberhood. Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, that actually does sound fun.
And it's on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wait, that's my line. Hello, Ross, available on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Okay, now you just repeated me.
We are so over our time limit.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Check out the podcast that inspired Taylor Sheridan's latest series, Landman.
There's a stretch of road in the oil-rich region of West Texas. This region of West Texas, known as the Permian Basin, is in the midst of the biggest oil boom in history. This is a story of roughnecks, billionaire wildcatters, and wannabe dreamers. My name is Christian Wallace. From Texas Monthly and Imperative Entertainment, this is Boomtown.
Boomtown.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.